And our next guest, Dr. Benjamin Powell, is online. We're going to be talking about the president's minimum wage folly right after this. You know, it's pretty remarkable what people will fall for today, and I guess there's a sucker born every minute, and there are plenty of people who can be fooled all of the time now in the United States of America. Not all the people, but a lot of the people are being fooled all the time. Dr. Benjamin Powell joins us. He's the director of the Free Market Institute at Texas Tech University, also a senior fellow at the Independent Institute. We'll be talking about this ridiculous proposal of the president regarding the minimum wage, and we need some education here. Dr. Ben Powell, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Rob, good to be with you.
Well, you know, I listened to the president's speech, and it's like he's handing out presents on Christmas morning. He's Obama Claus, and everyone's going, oh, give me more, give me more. Let's talk about the minimum wage. Is that something the president can just hand out to people?
It's not something this president or any president can. And by the way, Republicans are bad on this issue quite often, just like the Democrats are. In fact, I think the first column I ever wrote in a newspaper was when Paul Cellucci, the Republican governor of Massachusetts, was going to do something similar. All of these politicians just like to mandate a higher minimum wage because they feel like they're giving away gifts to everybody. But in fact, I mean, this is a 24% hike in the minimum wage the president's proposing. Did all of a sudden unproductive or less productive, and particularly young workers, become 24% more productive just because the president said so? As long as the answer is no to that, it's going to result in some of these people losing their jobs or not being hired in the first place.
Ben, this is a hard one because, you know, politicians get pilloried when they bring this up. And I was so proud of Michelle Bachmann, who during the presidential campaign, the Republican primary, said we should abolish the minimum wage. I couldn't agree more with her, and she had the courage to say it. What did you think of that statement?
Yeah, I mean, I concur completely. We should abolish the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
The result in the United States wouldn't be a big deal. You'd find a little bit more unemployment, right? Excuse me, you'd find a little bit more employment right now, particularly for teen and young workers.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't need to worry about like wages falling or something. The reason wage rates are so high in the United States is because our productivity is so high. In fact, the reason the politicians like tinkering with the minimum wage so much is usually they tinker at it at a rate that's below almost everybody's productivity. That's why about 98% of hourly workers in the United States already earn more than the minimum wage, precisely because they can do something symbolic but that actually doesn't have very much effect at all, except when we look at youths and particularly minority youths who get unemployed by this. So if we abolished it completely, for most people, it would be no big deal. For young people, we'd see youth unemployment rates go down. That'd be a good thing.
We're talking with Dr. Benjamin Powell on the minimum wage proposal by the president. He's online at benjaminpowell.com. I want to explode a few myths here. The number one myth, perhaps, is that the minimum wage helps the poor. Does it help the poor?
No, it's the poor that it hurts the worst, actually. For the most part, by the way, it doesn't affect the working poor in terms of your vision of like a head of household who's earning. The people who are most affected by minimum wage are young people. It's people under 24 and particularly under 20 that tend to earn it in their first job. So this idea that even if the minimum wage didn't have the negative consequences that it does, that it would do something to help the average poor working family is misguided because it just simply doesn't affect most of them. What it does do is throw youth out of work. So if we look right now, 6 of the 10 states with the highest teen unemployment rates all have state minimum wages that are higher than the federal minimum wage. Only Washington State has a wage that's as high as the president was proposing of over $9 an hour, and about 30% of the teens in that state are unemployed. So what it really does is it pulls that first rung of the kind of ladder up to economic prosperity out from under people's feet so they never get that first job in the first place to get started.
Another thing that I hear, another myth I'd like to expose, Ben, is this whole issue of, well, it prevents these greedy business people from exploiting labor. How would we respond to that?
No, it's other greedy business people that prevent greedy business people from exploiting labor. So, listen, the upper bound, the most employers ever willing to pay the employee is how much they contribute to the firm's revenue. But that's the upper limit. What they'd like to pay, of course, is zero and pocket the whole thing as profits. The reason they don't is because people have other alternatives to go to. So why does McDonald's pay what it does? because it's necessary to pay that much in order to bid enough workers away from Wendy's, Burger King, and wherever else they might work if McDonald's tried to offer them a lower page. So it's really the competition between businesses that results in pushing wages up towards a worker's productivity. In fact, when we look around the world and when you see tremendous wage differences between countries, mm-hmm. the lion's share of that, about 80% of the difference, is explained by productivity differences of the workers. Only about 20% from relative bargaining power, and that's where it comes into getting them more options.
Do we have a model worldwide, and I'm not sure if there's any nation that does not have a minimum wage, that we could look to and say it's really worked well there and we should emulate them?
There are plenty of countries that ignore their own minimum wage laws, mm-hmm. but these tend to be countries that pass the law well in advance of this stage of economic development. So if you think of it, so this wouldn't be directly answering as a shining success story, but if you think about like when the U.S. adopted a minimum wage in the mm-hmm. first place, nationwide, it was in 1938 with the Fair Labor Standards Act, and it set the minimum wage at 25 cents an hour. But at the time, the average worker was more than 62 cents an hour productive, so it didn't affect most people. But other poorer countries in the world today have mistakenly mandated high minimum wages, more like U.S. levels relative to their size of the economy, instead of doing it back like the United States did, shooting it significantly under what productivity was. And basically, in those countries, they simply ignore the minimum wage, and it's unenforced. And that's a good thing, because otherwise the workers would be out of work.
We have just a couple minutes left with Ben Powell, and let us go to the phones right now, and there's a line open for you at 977-1070. And say hello to Charles. Charles, welcome to the Shilling Show, and you're on with Dr. Benjamin Powell.
Thanks, Rob, and Dr. Powell. I've been paying attention. I don't think I missed it, but there was a very enlightening article in the Wall Street Journal on the same topic yesterday or the day before, and one reason why our good president is pushing it so hard, perhaps, and that is that certain union contracts work off the baseline of the minimum wage. So there's a certain maintained gap or parity adjustment. So if the minimum wage goes up, although none of these guys are earning just the minimum wage, all their wages go up because they're tied to that. To me, that was a revelation and a very disturbing one. So I'll hang up.
Yeah, Charles, thank you. So is this some sort of a union payback on behalf of the president?
Charles, I think that's an excellent point, and there's actually two parts of that. One is the part that you've identified. Some of their contracts are explicitly tied to ratchet up when the minimum wage goes up. But another is simply one substitute for high-skill, high-pay union labor is lower-skilled, lower-paid wage labor. So if unions can raise the price of that other unskilled labor that competes with them, it increases their relative bargaining power all by itself. In fact, so there is no legal tie between wages in other countries and union wages here for the most part. But yet AFL-CIO and other, and Unite in particular, the Garment Workers Union, have continually taken up the cause of so-called sweatshop workers in the third world. If a union's doing its job, it's to raise the wages and employment conditions of its members, who these third world people are not. So why do they do it? Precisely because they understand that if they can mandate a minimum wage in, say, Guatemala or somewhere that's high, it'll unemploy Guatemalans and result in more contracts for garment workers here that are unionized in the United States. So I think it's an excellent point the caller brings up.
We have just about a minute left, and a challenge has come in from Ken the Democrat, who says the minimum wage doesn't just affect teens in their first jobs. It sets a floor for the wages of other much older workers who do valuable low skills jobs. When the minimum wage rises, their incomes rise when they get raises and they need the raises. Would you like to respond to Ken the Democrat?
Yeah, it's patently false. We can look at the statistics and see that the vast majority of the people earning the minimum wage tend to be under 25. But secondly, what sets the floor under older workers or any workers' wages is their productivity and their next best alternative. It has nothing to do with what the legal mandate says.
It's a fascinating topic, and it's so unfortunate that we have a president who's either misdirecting the public purposefully or is ignorant of basic economic principles. But, you know, I look at this and say, well, gosh, why $9? Why not $50 or $100 an hour, and we'd all be living pretty high on the hog?
I suspect probably you would be unemployed and I wouldn't be on your radio show right now if you raised it like that.
I think you're exactly right. Dr. Benjamin Powell, a terrific, terrific source of information. Go online to benjaminpowell.com. We appreciate you joining us today on The Shilling Show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much.